all these things work to, A, get me in probably the best state I can be for that particular day. But then while I'm trading, realize that you are not a flawless discipline machine and never, ever will be. So incorporate how to handle that into your trading.
Welcome to the Alpha Mind Podcast with Mark Randall and Stephen Goldstein. Our guest this week is Corey Mitchell. Corey started trading at a local prop trading firm in Canada some 2 decades ago, straight out of college. He is one of a very small percentage of traders who has entered the prop trading world and then gone on to forge a successful career as a trader. Corey also loves writing about trading and sharing his learnings and lessons on trading with the wider world. He has been a regular contributor on Investopedia and coaches many other traders. It was the quality of his reflections on trading in his articles which drew us to inviting Corey onto the podcast. And in this chat with Mark and myself, he does not disappoint. His thoughts and reflections on the psychological challenges of trading makes this a very powerful interview with some great learnings for traders of all types and all ages from across all markets. We know you will find this podcast episode highly valuable. The Alpha Mind Podcast is sponsored by the Society of Technical Analysts, the STA. The STA are the world's leading body for the advancement of technical analysis and run fantastic education programs, diplomas, meetings and conferences on themes connected to technical analysis and trading price action. You can find out more about them on their website, technicalanalysts.com. As our sponsoring partner, the STA are delighted to offer listeners of the Alpha Mind Podcast a discount on their outstanding STA Home Study Course and STA Home Study Course and Diploma Program. You can find out details about this by going to the Alpha Mind blog, which you can find at alphamindblog.blogspot.com, or just Googling Alpha Mind blog, and then go to the link STA Home Study Course at the top of the page. Now on with this week's podcast.
Well, welcome to this week's Alpha Mind podcast, and we're delighted to have Corey Mitchell with us, trader and founder of TradeThatSwing.com, and we'll hear more about his services that he offers a bit later on in the show. But it's good to get a swing trader on board, somebody that's sort of lived the pain, has gone through the process, has worked things out. He began his trading journey with a prop day trading firm back in 2005. So they provided capital, and his only job was to trade and make money. In exchange, he took a cut of the profits. But it took only 5 months for him to kind of get into something that was sustainable, that he could actually make a living out of, which for me, that's quite remarkable. So I want to start off with a question for Corey. And that question is, what happened before 2005 that suddenly made you thought that it was a good idea to try this out?
So I was right out of university. So I had just finished, and I'd had a couple professors along the line who were traders, and we had gone through some of those like simulator classes where you trade stocks. And then what caught my eye, I was just applying for normal jobs and was more likely going into financial analysis or being a stockbroker or something like that. And I saw an ad for a prop firm or day trading firm that said, if you like online poker and video games, you might be a good day trader. And I was like, well, sure. We had a bunch of interviews that we went through. This was, again, 2005. So prop firms back then, we actually had a floor, a little bit different than the prop firms now, which are, you know, you pay $500, you take a test, you either make it or fail. Ours was much more, they were behind you. So we went through 3 or 4 interviews. And I just, I love the idea of it. And really, once I got in there, I just ran with it. And we were in there, I was in there like 8 hours a day, 9 hours a day, just looking at start charts, studying, and trying to figure out ways to make money.
This is what, trade were you trading futures or something? What was the angle into the market? So I mean, guess a pretty liquid product.
My very first was trading stocks. And we were basically given a couple stocks that we could trade, like kind of slower moving, lots of volume, like McDonald's. and or Walmart, those kind of stocks. And we came in and they gave us a brief introduction to the market. We didn't get a lot of strategy guidance because as a firm, they really wanted each of us to come up with our own way of trading to diversify their risk. And so we each sort of came up with our own, and we basically had risk management rules where we couldn't lose more than a certain amount each day. And within that, we pretty much had discretion. And I actually have some notes that was actually a real advantage. Like, I think 5 months was extremely quick. And some other people also got there within 6 months, like of being like feeling you and were profitable after that kind of 5-6 month point. But that was pretty quick. And I think actually one of the benefits of it was that I was so naive. Like, I did not know anything. I had no other ideas in my head. They just basically plunked you in front of a chart, a level 2, a time and sales window, and said, you can only lose so much today. Figure out how to make money. And so your timing has to be almost perfect. Like, the risk at the beginning was so small. Like, they were like, you can lose $10 a day. You know, that seems like a little bit. But over the course of a month, if you lost 10 bucks a day, that's, you know, 300 bucks a month times a year, you know, 3,000. Like, most people would blow through their account even losing $10 a day. So it was actually pretty good. And we traded 100 share lots. And that means you can basically lose like 10 cents on 100 shares. So you got to get your timing good. You have to control your risk, and you have to learn how to make more than you lose. And that was a beautiful thing. For right from the start, it taught me risk management, risk reward, and never lose more than you feel comfortable with in a single day.
Mm-hmm. And did you sense that you had that sort of money making capability at the very, very start, or did you feel you had to go through some pain first? Did you feel that there was a lesson somewhere, or something somebody said, or you noticed of the market that suddenly gave you that beginner's mind, as you talked about? That I'm naive, I don't know nothing, but did something trigger you into thinking, I'm starting to work out what this means, and I've got a bit of a plan?
Yeah, there were kind of a couple moments, I think, along the way. Once someone asked me, like, what's kind of the point where you succeed? And I said, it's always like at the cusp of failure, like when you're about to walk away. So right at kind of that 5-6 month mark, like, you know, I'd put in all these hours. I was also working at night at a casino just to like make some money. So I was getting up at 6 a.m., working till 2 a.m. And not every night, but quite a few nights. So I was, you know, tired, drained, putting in all these hours at the firm, and you just see you're losing money kind of each month, like just a little bit. And then that 5 or 6 month came around and I was starting to be in the profit, but it was still, I'm like, is this even worth it? I can go get a job and, you know, make a lot more money than I'm making right now for probably less work. So it was right at that cusp where I was thinking about really leaving, and I had real no investment in trading yet, like other than a bit of time. And it was right at that point where I'm like, no, I'm going to stay for at least, you know, another couple months, and let's really dig in. And that's when you put in that extra effort, because you've kind of up to that point, maybe you're there. You're trying to make it work, but you're not giving it like that extra 100%, that extra little percent more than what you think you have. And so when I thought I was going to maybe leave, and then I decided not to, that was kind of a breakthrough. And then after that, I started making some money. And then the next realization was, you know, I'm making 100 bucks a day now. But what I'm doing is scalable up to a point. And if I can make 100 bucks a day, I can make $1,000 a day doing the same thing. And that was the real moment of, I guess, okay, let's go after this. And maybe we can talk a little bit later on. I hit a ceiling which a lot of traders do, which is like their comfort level. And so it's, I found my scaling or my trading was scalable to a point and then I plateaued, but that was a very comfortable living. So I still consider myself at a plateau, but I'm fine with it because it's a good living. But yeah, that realization was I can scale this up to a point where I can do this and do this well.
Okay, Corey, Steve here, and welcome to the podcast. Some of the things you say, really, really fascinating. You know, again, I echo what Mark says, you know, 5 months is very, very rapid sort of development to a process where you're earning income or where you're starting to make it work. But you talked about the benefit of being naive. That's fascinating because a lot of people come in, they know too much. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me of The Way of the Turtle by Curtis Faith. I think he was the only one who was hired who had no experience in trading or knowledge of markets. He was a young guy who knew nothing. And therefore, he was like a sponge. He just listened to everything everyone said. He didn't really question it. You know, so if Richard Dennis said, you do it this way, he said, okay, I'll do it that way. Whereas most other people had some experience behind them, some time in markets. And you start to think you know something. And they say a little bit of knowledge is dangerous sometimes. So yes. That beginner's mindset.
Yeah, it could be actually very beneficial in... So I did read when I found out I was going to be at the firm. Of course, I started reading some books and I'm like, okay, I'm going to get the edge on everybody else. And I started reading technical analysis books. And pretty much my first day,
yeah,
I was looking at charts and looking at how the market moves. And I was like, man, like these things are all over the place. This has much, much more to do with kind of me and how I'm going to figure this out than something in a book. So at the beginning, I had read a little bit, but I basically just flushed it all out and said, I'm going to develop my own way of doing this. And that worked very well. And I was also in a group with a few other guys. We're usually hired in groups. So we'd kind of figure things out together. And that also helped having someone to bounce ideas off of. So we were coming in, and again, I talked before about we had strict risk management, and someone was on us for that, which really helped. And then after that, it was kind of just, how do we get in? We can see the price moving. How do we get in? How can we get out still within our very limited risk? And even though the amount we could lose each day, of course, expanded the more we made, overall, we were still very much limited in our risk and how much we could lose of the firm's money, basically, or how much we could lose out of our own profits. So that was a huge advantage. And there was actually later on in my career, about several years, where I started taking professional designations. And I went through a bit of a identity crisis as a trader because I'd done really well for years. I started reading and having to study other people's theories on the market. And all of a sudden I started to really second guess. I'm like, these people are writing books. They must know what they're doing. I'm making money, but I guess I don't know what I'm doing. And so I started looking at, you know, like chart patterns and Elliott waves and all these things that I thought real successful traders must be doing, not kind of realizing like I was already there. And I went through kind of like probably 6, 7, 8 months of rougher trading where my profits dropped a lot because I had too many, like you said, you have to almost unlearn some things, or you have too much that is in our head. And I had to go through all of it again. So I learned it. And then I had to almost scrap 90% of it from my head and just say like, okay, that's interesting for them, but it doesn't really work for what I'm trying to accomplish and who I want to be as a trader, which I think is very important. And you talk a lot about that, developing your identity sort of as a trader and trading in alignment with what you want to achieve in your goals and your time frames and your capital and your strengths and weaknesses. And I had to find that again because I just had too many voices in my head. And that was, yeah, that took months to kind of get rid of a lot of data that I didn't need in my head.
Yeah. Wow. You know what? I think people listening to this will resonate with that straight away. You know, the kind of, we call it the head fuck. The head fuck that this job is sometimes, you know, that lots of different people, lots of different opinions, lots of different views, lots of different ways of analyzing the market, of finding value. And, you know, it's ironic that you were actually doing really well. And then you started to question yourself.
It's true, though, that the when we are, I wouldn't say desperate, but maybe sometimes it is a desperation, or maybe it's hunger, that we just want to grow beyond what we've grown so far. But we do look for further inspiration outside of ourselves to think somebody must know the secret, the answer. You know, I must be doing the wrong model because it's not growing quick enough for me. So you tend to get this frustration that comes from it that certainly does not calm down your stress. I mean, you're getting more stressed because you think, why aren't I making any more? And suddenly you turn towards all these different opinions and you overwhelm yourself with information to the point that it becomes inflammation. So the information itself becomes an inflammation that just turns your performance in totally the opposite direction to what you intended. Rather than just being happy where you are on your own timeline, you know, on that ascent that's been stable, that desire to suddenly accelerate it and the need to, well, how am I going to fuel that? It's got to be with information and other people's opinion or the secrets that lie within all these books. But actually, it often isn't. And it often can, as you say, it can take you off of process. It can disrupt all the great work you've done in your own timeline. And it then creates a self-doubt, isn't it? So, and as you've worked out, well, it's better to just reset yourself with what you were doing before, because that was fine. And it's knowing that that's fine and accepting that that's fine, I think is the success, is the formula for a successful trader. Just keeping it realistic, you know? And I think much damage has been done across the field, you know, from people that feel that they're not growing fast enough. And that might be a comparison thing. It might be what they read and on social, whatever, and think, yeah, how come he's doing 200% a month and I'm doing 50? 50 is not enough. Mm-hmm. And difficult. I certainly appreciate the comment. It's good. It's very good that you brought that up.
200% a month, that's not bad.
What am I missing?
Go on.
Yeah, I was going to say one of the things I was thinking about was the what kind of helped me get back on track and filter out some of this information is that whenever we take information in, we have to think of that person as a very unique individual and what they're talking about works for them. It works for them maybe for certain reasons, which may work for us or may not. And so I had to really dissect, like, even though that some of these people that they were very successful traders, I was reading their information. We have to also think, is this style of trading that they're using even right for me? Are they extremely disciplined? Whereas I'm, you know, maybe more, spontaneous. And people tend to think of certain traits as good or bad in trading, like you shouldn't be spontaneous as a trader, but I actually think you should work with whatever your strengths are and develop a system around that so that you don't totally have to change who you are just to be a trader. And I had to really start thinking about that stuff as I was reading other people's material and trying to get rid of it. And you start to identify what type of person they might be versus what type of person you are. And all of a sudden you realize, yeah, what they're doing, hey, that's great for them. I'm going to maybe do something a little bit different.
Yeah, and we see that a lot in this world where people will say, that doesn't work. And you go, and you're thinking, well, it's worked for me for 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I think that's challenging all the time, you know. And I hear other people who have problems where they've learned a system from someone, and that system worked for that person for many years, but they couldn't make it work. And they'd say, I don't believe his system works. And it's like, well, hold on a minute. It's been working for him. But I think the point that gets missed a lot of the time is that our systems are very personal to us. We often don't even know exactly what our system is, because it's partly got the triggers, but it's also partly within us. You talked about being spontaneous before. Mm-hmm. That's a little bit that's within us that we can't always even write down what it is. I mean, I know over the years that, you know, I was very technical analysis orientated. I also was very fundamental and trying to understand the fundamental drivers of the market. And actually, I don't think my best trades were either technical or fundamental. They were just me bringing together all those things and saying, hey, this feels like a really good opportunity here. And it was just a feel at that moment, a sense at that moment that I need to buy this or I need to sell this. And then maybe add some more to it as it was going. And there was nothing actually concrete at that point that I could have written down this was right, but maybe the risk reward felt right. You know, maybe you bring in your own sense of momentum to it. And I always think my best trades were the intuitive ones.
Yeah, there is something to that. I think with, I talk with another trader who's very much into automation, and my methods seem very discretionary. And he posted something about good traders are actually discretionary, or good traders are actually automated. They just don't know it.
Yeah.
And that kind of goes to your point where our brains aren't always, you know, 100% accessible in the information we have. And we have a lot of information there. And once you start to trust your knowledge and your trading, you gain access to that data bank that maybe isn't quite on the surface and you can't always identify it. But I've noticed one thing with coaching some students on my methods and things is there are things I take totally for granted. Like, and it can be the simplest thing. Like I'll say, we're moving up and there'll be like two green bars or three green bars and there'll be a little red bar in between. And my mind totally disregards that tiny red bar. Like I see the overall upward momentum. Yeah. But a new trader asks, like, well, what about that? What's that red bar there? And then all of a sudden I have to go into my own thinking and I have to go through my trades and I can start to explain and come up with little rules for why that actually doesn't matter. But for my mind, it's just filtered out. It's included in my strategy, but to someone learning the strategy, all those like tiny little, like, well, what about the longer wick on this candle? Does that matter? Well, yeah, in some cases it does. In some cases it doesn't. Here's why. But if I never had to explain that to someone else, I would go through my entire life and other people would look at my trades and say, oh, he's totally discretionary. And I would think that too, because I've never had to explain those little things. But when your trades are nitpicked by, you know, 10,000 people on Twitter, you're all of a sudden forced to come up with, oh, yeah, like I do that all the time. Why? And again, like you were trading successfully before, but I'm still sometimes learning out why my strategies work now based on the questions people ask. And it brings to light that there's a whole repertoire of information in our brains that we have access to, but necessarily can't explain.
Yeah. It's, I mean, our pattern recognition abilities are really advanced. You know, they've been, you know, that they preceded the frontal cortex, neofrontal cortex, whatever the part of the brain is that does the thinking and is conscious of what we do, by millions of years in our evolution, mm-hmm. you know, even hundreds of millions, you know, tens of millions of years. So they are really advanced, and we don't yet fully understand them, you know, which is why neuroscience is such a fascinating field, because they seem to be finding something out every week that we weren't aware of. But we can recognize patterns, you know, so far, but we have to be immersed in those environments to recognize the patterns. And I'm minded of a conversation with a client a few years ago who it was a trader, a private trader, and he's very successful now. But at the time, he decided to go and study with a market wizard who was a day trader. You know, he kind of paid him to sit with him for a couple of weeks. And the guy said, yeah, you can pay me to sit with me if you want, and I can teach you my system, which is very basic, but you won't be able to do it. And he kind of laughed it off a little bit. You know, the guy's just being a bit evasive. And he said he sat with him for 2 weeks, and he said the system was so simple that it was almost simple beyond simple. But he said he came back and he tried to replicate it, and he couldn't for months. And he said to the guy, I can't do it. And he said, well, that's the bit you can't replicate, me. It's my personality. It's the bits that are in me that I don't even know is there, but it's within the way I work. You know, it's reacting to these often subtle microaggressions in the price action or the market or, you know, the sentiment that we're not even conscious of.
Yeah, and it's hard to explain, even in a course. Like, I do have courses, and they're, you know, very long. They I try to be as in-depth as possible, but there's still these questions that, of course, come up. And so there was one the other day, because I day trade, yeah. And I talk about where my trigger is. Like, if the price moves above this candle, I'm getting in. Yet there's, I didn't realize, but there's a bit of ambiguity there. Do you click the button? Do you click the buy button the exact second the price crosses it? Or do you wait 1 second, 2 seconds, 3 seconds? You know, in day trading, that can be a huge difference. And so I realized there's my trigger, but then I'm also I want to see the price move a little bit in the direction I want. So it's that trigger plus usually a second and a half where I see the price. Okay. We're actually, the buy orders are coming in. We're seeing them. I can get in now. But even on that tiny, like one point of a strategy, one little bullet point of a strategy, there's all of a sudden questions that open up. And that's, where the personality comes in. Like, are you someone who's like on the button instantly, or are you someone who's more laid back? And those are going to play into how you interpret that. When I say, you know, when the price moves above this candle, if you're super relaxed, you might be waiting 5 minutes before you hit the buy button and think, Corey's strategy doesn't work. If you're too aggressive, you might be hitting it the exact second and you're in just slightly early. The price whipsaws around a little bit. You get stopped out. Corey's strategy doesn't work.
Yeah. And look, sometimes we don't even know why we did something. We just felt it. It was just an impulse, you know, and when you're in flow, especially, you don't even think about what you're doing. And I think that's almost, and I think that's where everyone has to bring their own personality to this job. And they have to spend their own time in the markets, developing their own feel. We will return to the episode in a second. We just want to let you know of a one-day conference on the 18th of April in London called Technicals to Trading Systems. This event is being run by our sponsoring partner, the Society of Technical Analysis, the STA. This is open to finance professionals working in funds, banks, prop firms, asset management firms, commodity and energy trading firms, and research shops, as well as to serious-minded retail traders and anyone interested in systematic and quantitative trading and analysis. If you're in London, the UK or Europe, this is a great opportunity to hear some great speakers and to learn from them. It is also an excellent chance to meet and network with like-minded individuals. To find out more and to register for this event, go to the STA website at technicalanalysts.com. Now back to the podcast.
Yeah, that's important. I developed, so I have two, I don't know which direction we want to go, but I have two mental things that I do, which definitely help create that flow, which I think is important, where it gives yourself permission to be the trader you need to be, as opposed to having all these other voices in our head. And one of the ones I really like is called the parts negotiation. And this has been done. This is not a new thing. I have a book called Feeding Your Demons, which is basically the same thing. I got parts negotiation. That's the name Van Tharp gave it when I was at a peak performance seminar with him. And I like that name. It's pretty, a little bit more succinct. But the idea is that we're compiled of all these parts. And some of them might just be voices. They might be parents' voices. They might be other traders' voices. My students talk about how they have my voice in their head while they're trading, which can be good or it can be bad. So we need to create one voice while we're trading. We need to basically calm sort of all those other ones. And we do this through a parts negotiation, where whatever is kind of chirping at you while you trade, most people just try to shut it up and block it out. I am not that type of person. If, I used to be, or I probably am, but I have learned to try to use these parts. So if, let's say, a trader gets into a trade and a trade setup comes, but they're feeling extremely anxious about taking it, then you have two parts. You have your trader part, which is saying, we need to take this trade. And you have some sort of anxious part, which is saying, no, don't risk that money. We don't want to lose it. That is actually, most people try to block that voice out and just try to ignore it. And they take the trade, and that anxiety is still there. So they end up messing up their trade. They either take profits too early, or it goes against them and they pull their stop loss or something. That anxiety is causing an issue. But that anxiety is actually a huge ally if we use it correctly, in that if you do a negotiation, you take that anxiety and your trader sits down with it and says, I kind of do this with, you imagine like your anxiety and your trader having a conversation, or you can even imagine it as like you're working at a trading firm and your manager is very anxious. He thinks you're taking too much risk. You have to have a conversation with him and lay out your plan and say, look at all this. Like, if this is my strategy, if I do this, risk is actually very minimal over 10 trades, 20 trades, 30 trades. Like, we're actually not going to lose anything. You have to explain. There's a part of you that's obviously nervous about losing money. And if you can explain it out, that part's going to be quiet. And then I also like to give it a job where you're not just saying like, okay, I've explained something to you, now go away. You can say, when I'm done my trading, we can go through all of these and use that anxiety to like say, where could we reduce risk in my trading? And this is also, I think, a big leap in terms of profitability and finding ourselves as traders, is we take these little parts, these anxious parts, these spontaneous parts, and we bring them into our trading and ask them, like, how can we reduce some risk? How can we make a little bit more profit here if we have a greedy part? And we actually bring all these elements of ourselves into the trading process, as opposed to trying to ignore them. And it can be, we did these exercises at a Van Tharp seminar. And most of us are aware of kind of like major conflicts in our trading, such as we take profits too early. So we're either kind of greedy and we want to take that money, or we're anxious and maybe we don't take some of the trades we're supposed to. So most of us are aware of kind of a major conflict where we feel we should be doing something, but we also feel we shouldn't be doing it. And when we go through this process, it should feel like a weight just gets lifted off you, like something has, you feel aligned toward your strategy. And now all of a sudden, all the parts of yourself are working toward the same goal, because they really want the same thing, which is you to be healthy and prosperous and And they're all working toward it, as opposed to that feeling of like you're getting pulled in 10 different directions, and which is never going to be a good way to trade. And that's how, going back to the flow, is once you start to get in that sort of internal alignment, you get into that flow where you're just present and you're not thinking about 20 different things all pulling you in different directions.
Yeah, it's very interesting, the value of presence in that sense, but also the flow moment of action without thought. It gets to happen without, you know, you see that in sports, where even sports people kind of almost step back after a miracle tennis shot, and they kind of don't know where it came from, but it came from some more intuition and some automated process that's just within. And I guess being a fellow golfer, you know, I always share a story about one of the best golfers I ever knew was, he didn't play golf, I guess he was bird watching. Between every shot, he was bird watching and looking at the trees. And he just showed up at the ball without a practice shot and just hit the ball. And it was essentially performance without thought. He'd not judged anything beforehand. He just showed up, bang. It was just beautiful to see. I think there's an element of that that shows through in trading, you know, where you do get a sense that people just have got this level of comfort, of being comfortable in the space, that they're happy with themselves and their process, and something turns up and they just do it. Certainly from the high flow broker days when I was involved with big desks and running big desks, the biggest stack of slips you had at the end of the day were the cancelled and unfilled orders, which represented so many great ideas that people had, but they'd thought about it too much, right? They'd work a bit below the market, I'll phase it in. The number of tickets where you get stripped out were bigger than the tickets you got filled, and what they were was people that had given it too much thought. Rather than just having the right idea and going, doing it, they'd given it too much thought. So, and it becomes a lag. So I guess in a way, thought becomes a lag that can switch you off from something. You know, suddenly you challenge yourself, you know. And I liked when you guys were talking, Steve and yourself, about, you know, the ideas of others, and where you're hearing somebody else that's got the game plan, and you know it's working for him. Of course, they need not be telling you the truth. It's a bit like fishing as well, right? Where everyone's going to be telling you they're going to be making money, right? And no one's going to, if you have a trading conversation with a guy down in the pub, it's like, oh yeah, I made this, I made that, and I'm doing so well. Nobody's going to tell you their horror story. I've dropped a fortune. It's going to be skewed them telling you the positive, which is going to make you think, Jesus, you know, what am I missing? Which gets you into another loop that you don't want to get into. I just wanted to share that. So I also want to pose you a question now. So here's Corey Mitchell, nearly 20 years on from the beginning. What would you be telling yourself? You coach kids at the moment, I understand. So imagine you coaching yourself 20 years ago. What would you be telling yourself? You had a great trajectory anyway, but what would you say you'd be telling yourself to do more of and do less of?
What I try to focus on now, and I've written some articles on this, is less. I started out with less information, you could say. And interestingly, the firm actually hired people who were naive. They didn't really want to hire former traders. They wanted you to come in, as Steve called it, like a sponge. And so I like that idea of coming in and basically do as much research as you need and no more, to find some ideas on how you can, what your kind of strategy would be. And at that point, stop reading other people's information and dig in to just that. So if the first book you read is on swing trading and you really like the author's kind of idea. You don't have to follow it verbatim, but just maybe that's your personality. You're a swing trader. You want to look at charts just at night, or you read a day trading book and you really like the idea of trading a 1 minute chart. Your trades last 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 2 minutes, or maybe you're a little bit more trades last an hour, 2 hours. Nothing. They're all fine. They're all good. It's what kind of resonates with you. So I basically tell people, find as much information as you need to kind of get some ideas on how you would like to trade, what really resonates with you. And then at that point, stop the information flow and really dig into how you're going to make that work for you. And what that's going to do is it's going to branch you into the information you need for that specific thing. So you're not going to just be learning general psychology, because some of it might not be applicable to you. You might only need help with, you know, a few aspects of your trading. And as you dig into your trading and you realize, like, oh man, like I keep skipping trades. Why am I doing that? That's your specific cue on what you need to work on. And then you can find resources for dealing with that specific thing. If you know you find you're taking too much risk, you can fine-tune risk management strategies. Look at your actual trades. So basically this process of really narrowing it down and then just focusing on one or two strategies, developing those, getting better at them, and then the final step is what I call cutting the apron string, which is basically getting other people's voices out of your head. It's like, okay, this method is mine now. No one else can really give me a whole lot of advice on my strategy. It's up to me to make it work, to manage the risk, all that stuff. I can get help from outside on mental stuff if I need it. But really it's, digging in as opposed to, like I talked about before, by expanding my information, I ended up with information inflation or inflammation, as you put it, which I liked, Mark. And you end up dealing with too much. So that's my advice. It worked in the very well in the beginning for me. And now that I've gone, you know, I've had those patches where it's like, ooh, that's a really good idea. And you have too many voices in your head again. And you have to narrow it back down and just focus on, okay, how am I going to make this my strategy? And I really like just looking at our own trades. There's a lot of comparison about there. We've talked about that. Comparison to other traders. And so I sometimes publish my charts and other people are, oh, why'd you take this? Why'd you take that? I took this one. And that's okay. But it's not going to help you really become a better trader just looking at someone else's trades. The real magic, I think, and the advice I would give my former self, which is actually what I was doing at the beginning, was just looking at your own trades and saying, okay, I made a little bit here. How could I have made more? Did I really need to risk as much as I did? If the price is moving quickly, do I need to have my full stop loss out there? Like, why? If most of my trades work instantly after I trade or after I enter a trade and they're running, those are my winners, then I don't really need a full stop loss on those. If they start dropping right away, they're of course going to hit the stop loss. But it's when we look at our own tendencies and our own trades that we really start to be able to, you know, kind of find the magic of what works and how we can just keep improving on that. So it's not about bringing other ideas in necessarily. It's that if I improve my entry a tiny bit, that improves my risk reward without really affecting my win rate maybe. And I managed to squeeze out an extra 1% of profit a week. And then I make another tiny tweak and I can pull out another, you know, 1% a month or a week or whatever it is. And we make these tiny incremental changes to our own system. And that's what allows us to progress. And that's what I really try to kind of push now, is that if you like an idea, run with it. And at some point, the kind of information overload has to stop.
You know, that's fascinating. There is so much there that I would like to question you about. I'm torn between carrying on this line or going back to something you said earlier. So first of all, thank you for giving me that dilemma, and I hate you for it as well. But I can't. I feel I'd be doing a disservice to our audience if I didn't go back to something you said earlier. You talked about that routine you did, or that thing you learned, that kind of great learning you got from the Van Tharp Institute. And I was curious about was, did you have a routine, or do you have a routine that gets you into that state? Or is it something that you need to revisit and remind yourself of? Because it's probably not automated that you're in that state or thinking like that. Or is there something else that I'm missing there?
It's definitely not automated. To be honest, I do not think of myself necessarily as a great mentality for a trader. I kind of compulsive, I'm spontaneous. You know, I'm not always disciplined with what I eat, things like this. Like so what I do and the process of it is, and the end result is it looks disciplined. But I think people have to realize the work that goes into it, into even appearing disciplined. And so each day before I trade, or even if I open up my platform and I have the ability to place trades, even if I don't plan to, I go through a pre-trade routine, which basically involves a check-in with myself. And I'll go over kind of any things that have been problems recently, just to remind myself of them and my solution for them. So if I've been, you know, maybe trading in conditions that aren't good, so I'm over trading a little bit, I'll go over my guidelines for those types of market conditions, why I don't trade them. And then I'll do this parts negotiation check-in, which is I'll just kind of sit there for a second, I'll visualize some trades, and I'll kind of ask, is there like a part of me that's at odds with what I'm trying to accomplish here? And that can take a little bit of work to find out, because most of us think of negative things as anxiety, or we're revenge trading. And those are sort of more identifiable. We can say like, okay, like, and then I'll take a few minutes and do that sort of negotiation before I'm even allowed to place any trades. And I'll get myself feeling balanced. And the ones we need to be aware of, though, are, which get missed a lot more, is when people are very excited to trade. And that can be just as detrimental, but it's not really viewed as a negative, because we're thinking like, oh, I feel so good, I'm going to get out there and make lots of money today. To me, that's, and again, it might work for some people because everyone's at a different starting point. Some people are kind of low and have to bring themselves up. Other people start out high and have to bring themselves down. So it depends on where we are to kind of start the day, where you are. So if you're really amped up all the time and it's not good for your trading and you're not trading well, maybe you have to like bring yourself down, relax yourself a little bit before trading. I'm kind of either way. Sometimes I'm amped up, sometimes I have to and bring myself down. Other times I'm kind of, oh, like, I don't know if I'm going to be trading well today, and I kind of have to bring myself up. So that's another part of that process, before I place trades, to get myself in a mind frame where I feel that I can execute my strategy well. When I think about being able to hold trades, and some days, and this might go against what some other people teach, but I'm, again, very much, you got to trade who you are. And how I trade will change some days based on my mentality. If there is a little bit of anxiousness there that I can't seem to really shake, but there's good market conditions, I'll just listen to that anxiety and say, okay, I'm going to take this trade, but we'll use a trailing stop loss on it. And as soon as it starts to go against me, I'll get out. And that basically allows me to trade no matter what kind of voices are there. So of course, through those identity work things, I'm trying to get them all in alignment, but that doesn't always work. And sometimes there is going to be a little voice in your head that doesn't seem to go away. And I am totally okay with adapting to my strategy to that. And if I'm extremely aggressive, the same thing. Some days, you know, I realize like, whoa, I'm like hitting the button more than I should be. Again, trailing stop loss, because I'm probably going to end up in some not so great trades. And so I've basically incorporated that into my method, where if I kind of realize I'm having a bit of an issue on a day, what's the protocol for that? And usually for me, it's just implement a trailing stop loss. So all these things work to A, get me in probably the best state I can be for that particular day. But then while I'm trading, realize that you are not a flawless discipline machine and never, ever will be. So incorporate how to handle that into your trading. And so I recorded a live session one day and I'm like, I just had like a really rough week. So my trading is going to be different today. I'm not probably going to hold for my full target. I might get out at 2R instead of 2.5R. And that's fine. Just get back to, you know, feeling a bit of confidence in your trading. And the only way we can do that is kind of by trading and seeing some positive results. So yeah, those all kind of work together. And I do them before. And then it's also kind of an ongoing process while I'm trading to see where I'm at, if I'm, you know, too anxious, too amped up, and then calibrating my trading a little bit to that.
We will return to this fascinating podcast shortly. If you are planning to upskill yourself as a trader or an analyst, or want to improve your chances of landing a job in the finance industry, the STA Home Study course may be what you are looking for. Developed by many of the leading minds in technical analysis and based on the STA's diploma program that was delivered at the London School of Economics, this course may be ideal for you. AlphaMind listeners can obtain a discount on the cost of this course. To find out more about this offer, Google AlphaMind blog or go to alphamindblog.blogspot.com and hit the STA study course tab at the top of the screen. Now back to the podcast. Okay, and do you do anything to step away? Do you ever step away? Where you talked about being too excited sometimes or perhaps in the wrong state. Are there ever times where you just physically remove yourself?
There is. If before I even start trading, sometimes you can tell, like maybe yesterday was a bad day or something and you're still feeling it, or maybe you had a fight with somebody and, you know, you just feel kind of amped up and revengey. I will step away and try to resolve that or just not trade. If it happens while I'm trading, maybe I notice a few things that, you know, I'm not really doing very well. I will step away for 5 minutes, take a 5-10 minute break and see if I can kind of get back to that ideal state. And again, the ideal state will be different for everyone. Some people may need to feel a little amped up. Some people actually probably would feel better if they were really subdued. But sort of where I need to be to trade well. And if I can't find it, then I either really restrict how I trade. Like maybe if I want to keep trading, maybe I'll just reduce my position size drastically or use the trailing stop loss on everything because I'm obviously not in my right mind to be able to hold these trades maybe to my full target because I'm too anxious or something. And yeah, that's so it's being able to pull ourselves away. And I guess that mental awareness of realizing when it happens to be able to pull ourselves out. So that's will come with practice of, I tell some of my students, don't just monitor everyone. A lot of people write down their trades. Okay. I took this trade and this was the reason, but it's also beneficial to write down what some of your thinking processes were during that trade, while it was going on. What emotions did you feel? Because those are things that you might need to do some work with, or where there's actually an element to enhance your strategy. If you're feeling very anxious during trades and you end up bailing at the totally wrong time, you could probably use that anxiety actually to help you get out earlier at a better point when you're showing some nice profit or something. So by noting those things, and that also gives us that more presence. We get used to monitoring our internal state. Mm-hmm. And by doing that, we're able to pull ourselves away when we're not in a good state. We can more likely get ourselves into a better state, and we can probably improve our strategies by noticing those types of things.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, as I'm hearing you and I'm sort of pulling together everything you're saying, it's really a deep focus on self, on who you are. And there's this kind of, you know, it's really interesting where you keep related back to a student ask you this and a student ask you that. And I get why they would. But, you know, when you're a student of anything, you want to know why someone did something. But really, it's, and what you're saying, and this is right, I think, you have to look in at yourself. Why did you do something? And what did you do when it worked? And what did you do when it didn't work? You know, and we've got this personality, which, you know, if you think each of our fingerprints are unique and each one of our DNA is unique, each one of our own personalities is also unique. You know, you could never map it like your DNA. And but, you know, I guarantee there are no two people with exactly the same set of reflexes to a situation. And the more you can reveal about yourself, and that's where the power of journaling for me is. It's not what did you do on a trade, but what did you think? What did you feel? Like you said, and if you can record that, you only need to go back a few times and look at situations where you've got a note of, you know, what was I, you know, even the trade you do is a representation often of what you feel.
Yeah, it's very powerful. And yeah, I like that process of just digging into the trades, digging into the mental work. And yeah, you start to realize, and I try to explain this, but it's very difficult to explain, that I am not really trading the market at all while I'm trading. I am trading my internal perception of what may happen and how I'm going to react to that. Studying the market happens outside of trading. That's where we are in our more strategy development, where I'm looking at the market and I'm looking at how far prices typically move after forming a certain pattern or something like that, where, yeah, we're digging into what the actual market does. Once we've developed a strategy, maybe there's some people who can just kind of replicate that on a chart and that would be totally fine. More the kind of automated type traders. But for myself, as you know, when you're looking at a historical chart, you don't have to deal with the constant barrage of changing prices every split second. You don't have to deal with the price almost hitting your stop loss or almost hitting your target and then pulling back. There are these, and if you're watching that, that is going to be something that becomes very mental, because we're going to start questioning. And so while I'm actually trading, it becomes very much about how am I going to respond in certain situations. And there's really only so many things the market can do. It can either, you know, move quickly toward my target. It can move slowly toward my target. It can be choppy. It can be trending. There's really only a few things. So before the trade, it's this, I have a little dialogue again. How am I going to handle this trade based on the conditions I'm seeing? If it's very choppy, I have two choices. I can either maybe be a little bit more patient and it eventually hits my target, or I could not trade, or I could maybe take a little bit less profit because we know the price is moving a little bit and then coming right back. So it's that sort of full acceptance of A, what the market's doing, not just trying to impose my will on the market, but really accepting what it's doing. And then using my method to say, okay, we have an entry point here. How are we going to handle it given these situations? And I think that little point, how am I going to handle this given the context, is where a lot of traders kind of go wrong following a system because they don't really understand how to adapt it. Someone writes a course or an article at a certain time of year, in a certain year when conditions are a certain way, the strategy works really good. It works good for them for 20 years. But someone looking at the examples might say, like, wow, it was really trending back then. Now conditions are really choppy. But that trader likely has some tools in their toolbox to say, I'm looking at what the market's doing and I'm going to adapt slightly to the strategy, to how it's acting. And so that's kind of the process of how I deal with that.
Yeah, no, fantastic. Mark?
I think it's very interesting that the ability to trade yourself, you know, to understand when you're overbought, oversold as the mechanism within, is a skill in itself. And that starts off with awareness. You know, and of course, the early desire of many traders that make mistakes is that it's about the market. And actually, well, no, it's about you and how you interpret it and live with it and deal with it and manage emotions around it. The soft skills, as we refer to it, are where the strengths are and where your edge is more likely to lie. You know, the speed of your decision-making process and how much you're paying attention to your own self-discipline. You know, because you have to have that discipline and that commitment to follow that process of managing yourself and deciding about, as you say, it's right for me to trade. I'm in the right state for me to trade or put risk on, or to, as you say, and if I'm having this sort of debate about, you know, I've got some anxiety turning up and I've got that dialogue going on, then, as you say, putting a bit of a stop program into something and trailing a position, and maybe having some flexibility around your risk modeling is the sensible thing to do. And of course, we're talking about that with wise eyes, you know, and we're sharing it on this podcast because we know that people were listening to us out there that perhaps have not considered the proposition of self, the tradability of self as being as dynamic as the market, as something that they need to put into their own equations of, okay, well, what am I doing to make a decision about this? Well, for goodness sake, pay attention to this conversation, because there's a whole bit around you that needs to be part of that equation, because you can be the wrong you going into something and it can be totally a disaster. So I think, yeah, those things are really, really worth re-emphasizing. I think it's great that you've felt back to, you know, the Van Thart process of the parts negotiation sort of piece, but also feeding your demons as part of this sort of storyline, because they're going to show up, and it's realizing that they're going to show up and having a plan to deal with them when they show up, I think, is also really, really important, because, you know, they can take you down before, you know, and become stronger, the stronger version of you internally than your normal self. You can be taken over by that little green man in your head, as people refer it to, which is, you know, that's not a great trading state. You know, so it's really important to share those things. Super important to share. So how do you power yourself? I mean, are you doing things outside of trading to empower yourself? Have you got a bigger purpose going on that is your big drive for why you're showing up every day to trade?
I think that's a good thing people to ask themselves, and I can definitely explain kind of what mine is. Mine, from the start, when I joined the firm, a little bit of history, I was actually very socially anxious in like dealing with some social anxiety issues, like kind of later high school, university time. So what was actually really important to me at the time was, man, like if I don't have to work around people, that'd be great. And I don't have social, mental tools I've kind of learned over the years. I don't struggle with social anxiety anymore, but that process, or that feeling of, man, it'd be really nice if I can just work from home, set my own hours. It's always been more about freedom for me. I love golf. I golf almost every day during the summer. And so to be able to trade for a couple hours in the morning and then go golf, that's the most important kind of thing to me. So that's really my major driver. And everyone's drive to do this will be a little bit different. Mine was actually very passionate because kind of the idea of like having to go work in a big corporate environment was scary to me at the time. So I was like going to do everything I possibly could to make day trading work where I could, you know, just sit in a room. There were a bunch of other guys just kind of trading and it was sometimes loud, but it was a real kind of fun environment as opposed to, you know, having to do presentations or something, which petrified me and it doesn't anymore, of course. But, so that was a huge driver. And I think if people can find really that internal drive, why they're going to trade, it's going to be way more beneficial than, you know, most people like, yeah, I want to make an extra $1,000 a month, or I want to quit my job. I don't like it. I want to trade. But what's the real, like, what's the internal motivation? What's pushing you toward, what's either pulling you toward trading or pushing you away from something else? And this kind of leads into another little mental thing I like to do called identity work, which is what I do a lot outside trading, which is I look at where I want to be and why being where I am with a certain thing is so bad. And a lot of people say like, oh, don't focus on the negative. But I was actually listening to a Huberman podcast. And in trading world, we also know that losses generally have twice the impact that gains do, or we're twice afraid as losses as, you know, a relative gain. So actually looking at the negative and like seeing if I stay here, this is really bad. And really going over that in the mind of why this thing sucks so bad and where, how we would get to could be so much better. So I like focusing on both. So that's the outside work that I do outside trading. And I do it whenever I can kind of remember. I have a few moments. It might be related to discipline where, and it could be diet, it could be exercise, it could be with your trades, could be anything. But I look at how I need to follow my trades. What's the problem if I don't? And I look at the negative. If I'm having an undisciplined streak and I continue it, I really dig into the negative of that and say, like, if I keep doing this, I lose my freedom. And all of a sudden you start to feel like, wow, this is important. And what if I get back to discipline? And again, it's that self thing. If I'm disciplined, I get to continue to do this. I get to continue golfing each week. If I'm not disciplined, what else do I lose? Well, you know, bills, house, no golf in the summer, maybe. I have to go find a job. If I am disciplined, I get to golf every day. I get to go out when I want. I get to go to shows. I get to travel. And so this, I call it identity work in that I'm usually working on a little part of my identity, usually related to like a trait, like discipline or something like that. And just to kind of reinforce it, I do it with golf too. If I'm anxious about a golf tournament, I'll work on the identity to just trust the swing, trust the process of what I've been working on. And maybe it's more a mentality of just move to the next shot. Doesn't matter what the result is, the next shot, trust the process. And so anytime I kind of have 5 minutes and I remember, I'll just do a little bit of that identity work. And what it does is it just reinforces a lot of the other things we've talked about, is it creates more of that flow state, because if I'm more confident in my traits as a trader and I know I'm moving in the right direction, it becomes a lot easier to execute a strategy than if, again, you have those little voices and, you know, people say, well, how can I trade confidently if I'm not confident? And something has to happen there. You either need to develop trading results that make you confident, or you need to have that internal confidence to execute the strategy well and see those results. So it can go either way. In trading, typically, I would say, you know, push that. The results are going to come, but if we can work on that internal state and push ourselves toward being the person we want to be whenever we have that opportunity, it only takes 5 minutes, just kind of run through those things. Why do we want to move away from something? Why do we want to move toward it? And it just reinforces all those good things that we want in our trading and in our life. And yeah, we can do them whenever we want. We can spend 20 minutes doing them, or at a certain time of day, or just whenever we remember, just do that little dialogue.
Yep. Remembering. Write it down somewhere. Remember these things. Right? That's, yeah, because when we get busy, we forget, right? And then we drop process, we drop stuff about ourselves, and yeah. And certainly you can see the very highest performers in sport. They've worked out a way of remembering and staying on these things that for the rest of us just seem, maybe we should pay a little bit, but no, they're paying full attention to these things and not dropping the ball. And that's where the difference is. That's where the edge is. It's just remembering to commit to this stuff.
Well, I think there's a common theme there, isn't there? You're a golfer. It's a game like trading. You play on your own. You're playing it against everyone else, but you're playing it against yourself as well.
Mm-hmm.
And do you notice that? You know, do you feel that same mental games being played sometimes?
Yeah, every shot or playing poker, same thing. You have. Trading really, once you start digging into trading, because trading to be successful at, I think you really have to dig in, makes you realize that trading sort of is life in a sense, in that there's,
yes,
to be really good at something takes a certain amount of awareness and digging in to get better at it. There's this kind of idea that we should just be, you know, good at things. And usually it takes some digging in to find it. And I think trading, if you pursue it long term, and I think most traders would agree with this, really kind of opens up your mind, and especially like traders who have had some success, because likely they've had to go through that filtering through their own mind, seeing what's going on there. And you start to realize it in other areas of your life too. And a lot of the strategies that are used in trading, and I don't mean technical type strategies, but the mental type strategies we use to cope with certain situations could be also beneficial in other areas of our life, or we could pull in that experience into our trading to help us deal with certain situations. So it's, yes, they're all very, I think, related.
Yeah, right. I think that ability to cope with uncertainty, to recover, you know, to get back on a path when you've had a setback, because I suppose you know the ball doesn't always go where you want to go when you're on the course, and the same with the market doesn't always go where you want it to go, you know, despite the greatest setup in the world, and then coping with that and getting back onto an even keel is. You know, same in poker, I guess. You know, you can't possibly know what's in the other person's hand, even though the odds are low. You know, the similarities are just there. Listen, this has been really great. We'd love you to give a quick shout out to your the service you offer. But before I do, is there anything, Mark, that you want to add?
No, not at all. I think this is a very nice point to just hand over to Corey now to, you know, sell yourself, Corey. Get out there and just push to our audience all this value that you've got, because we know that you're particularly particularly good at writing about it. You've got a way of writing that's very noted, and I know that you get into a lot of quite important channels with the way that you write. So tell us where people can find out more about you.
So I run tradethatswing.com, and there are loads of free articles on there. I think the ones that relate most to this podcast would be under the section called Trading Improvement, and that's more about the mental side of trading. There's also lots of strategies posted on the site. I do have courses, and there's one on day trading, one on swing trading, and for stocks and Forex. And I think one thing that kind of separates it is that there's no monthly subscription or anything. You can, below each video, you can ask questions and I will respond. And so people sometimes ask about current market conditions, or I get some of those things that we talked about. Where exactly is this trigger? You said it's when it price moves above this candle. So those types of things, they're going to come up. And I didn't really like the idea of just, you know, kind of dinging you every month for that. So you can just ask questions below the videos anytime it comes up, and I respond to those. I do work with individual clients, but that's fairly booked up. So, and then with summer coming up, I golf lots. So there is that option as well if you did want some personal coaching. But the courses are also, they pretty much go through the process of how I trade, also improving on your trading. And then, of course, if you have questions, you can ask below the videos. And yeah, that about sums up what I offer.
Fantastic. And again, the way to contact you is
tradethatswing.com. And there is a contact us page if you want to contact me directly.
Terrific. Okay. Well, Mark, do you want to take us out?
Yeah, I mean, there was one phrase I think that you mentioned, the one part of your career, or if career is the right way of putting it, your professional journey so far, that really resonated with me, which was that in the face of failure, you realized that you had to increase the effort of what you were doing, and that was the point where you became successful. So in the face of failure, realizing what was at stake and then being bothered and committed to increase the effort, I think is a very, very big message, because a lot of people would just carry on doing the same and failure would happen. But you didn't. Something happened to make you think, no, I'm going to increase the effort. And I think I'm going to go out on that message, because that's a really, really big message. So we thank you for being with us today. And, great conversation. We went north, south, east, west on it. And hopefully you enjoyed it as well. And I'm sure our audience will find an awful lot of value there. And will find more value as well if they go and delve into your site and take a look at what's on offer. So, Corey, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for listening today. We would like to thank our podcast sponsorship partners, Society of Technical Analysts, the STA. You can find out more about our sponsors at our website, alpha-mind.net, or see the link in the episode description. The Society of Technical Analysts, the STA, provide well-beating technical analysis education programs. Alpha Mind podcast listeners can obtain a discount off the cost of their excellent home study course. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, we'd appreciate it if you could leave a friendly review or provide a rating for the show on whichever podcast service you use. You can find out more about us at our website, alpha-mind.net. You can follow us on Twitter at alphamind101 and at alphamind102. And you can connect with me, Stephen Goldstein, and my co-host, Mark Randall, on LinkedIn. You can also follow us and can check back over some of our past episodes on the alphamindpodcast.com. We wish you the best of luck in the markets. Have a good week.